Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om 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 Namo
She achieved the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Super Soul without difficulty. But what three words have been used in this connection to describe the achievement of Devahuti? Atmanam. Brahmanirvanam. And Bhagavantam. These refer to the gradual process of discovery of the Absolute Truth, mentioned herein as the Bhagavantam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead resides in various Vaikuntha planets. Nirvana means to extinguish the pangs of material existence. When one is able to enter into the spiritual kingdom or into spiritual realization, one is automatically freed from material pangs. That is called Brahma, Nirvana. According to Vedic scripture, Nirvana means cessation of the materialistic way of life. Atmanam means realization of the Super Soul within the heart. Ultimately, the highest perfection is realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is to be understood that Devahuti entered the planet which is called Kapila Vaikuntha. There are innumerable Vaikuntha planets predominated by the expansions of Vishnu. All the Vaikuntha planets are known by a particular name of Vishnu, as we understand from Brahma Samhita, Adhirvamajutamanadimanantarupam. Ananta means innumerable. The Lord has innumerable expansions of his transcendental form, and according to the different positions of the symbolical representations in his four hands, he is known as Narayana, Prajumna, Aniruddha, Vasudeva, etc. There is also a Vaikuntha planet known as Kapila Vaikuntha, to which Devahuti was promoted to meet Kapila and reside there eternally, enjoying the company of her transcendental son. Om Gana Timidam Dasya Ganjana Salakaya Chapchurnalitam Jainaha Tasmaye Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mahavishnam Stapitam Tena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiram Tatetra Padamikam Mukkam Karoti Vachalam Mukkam Kayate Kariyam Yakri Patamam Vande Shri Guru Dina Taminam. Can somebody do me a favour? Can you get a couple of slices of apple for me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm running low on sugar. I think it's starting to go a bit. Need to get some sugar in the system. Then I'll be back to normal. Maybe, whatever that is. Right, okay. So, Prabhupada says here, three words have been used in this connection to describe the achievement of Devahuti: Atmanam, Brahmanirvanam, and Bhagavantam. These refer to the gradual process of discovery of the absolute truth mentioned herein as the Bhagavantam. Okay, so Brahmanirvanam is the first stage of realization, transcendental. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Satyate. So, this the spiritual energy is all pervading, even within the material energy. Actually, the material energy comes from the spiritual energy, and the spiritual energy is one, but yet has many characteristics also.
Thank you. That's very good. Thank you.
Perfect. Excuse me. I need to do this. You don't. That kid almost pretty burned up a fair bit of energy there. That's better. Okay, so it's described in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. What is that verse? Where does that verse start? Brahmeti Paramatmeti. Vedanti Tattva Vidas Yajnanam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaneti Sabyate. So it's mentioned that the spiritual energy is one. It is one. And the Brahman realization is pretty much a realization of that, the oneness, that force or that energy that exists within everything and maintains it, supports it in the material world, creates it, maintains it, supports it, then destroys it. But there is no duality in the spiritual energy as there are dualities in the material world. Cold, pleasure and pain, birth and death, so many things. These features of duality that exist in the material world don't exist in the spiritual energy. Yet, even though the spiritual energy is one, it has oneness, at the same time there's variety. The example Prabhupada gives, many examples actually, But one example to help us understand this, and this is my personal favourite, is of milk and sugar. If you mix milk and sugar together, you get sweet milk, right? And it's one, but by the same token, just like last night and yesterday, in order to prepare the milk sweet offering for Radhabalabha this morning before Mongol Arctic, they took the milk and the sugar, but they created sandesh, they've created rasagula, they've created rasamalai, we've also got burfi, and so many things. All milk and sugar. So all one. Right? But yet, within that oneness, so much variety. Right? So we can understand it this way. The spiritual energy has this oneness. This is the Brahman platform, or the Brahman understanding. But that's just the beginning. And it's mentioned here, Brahma Nirvaram, which means spiritual activity, practically speaking. No material activity, only spiritual activity. And that is what these different realizations of the Supreme Lord rest on, is spiritual activity, just like us. We engage in the process of sadhana bhakti. This is spiritual activity. And it's punctuated by so many activities that we perform throughout the day. But each of those activities is designed to help us come to the point of realizing these different features of the Supreme. And in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains to us, you're not the body, this is the beginning. The beginning is this Brahma Nirvana, realizing our spiritual identity, which is something above and beyond the material existence that we experience. This is our first stage of realization. And basically it comes from fairly basic practices of sadhana bhakti, chanting Hare Krishna. We can test whether we're making spiritual advancement or not by how much we understand that we are not the body. Right? This is a very basic test of spiritual advancement. To realize aham brahmasmi as opposed to aham mameti. I and mine. This is how most people are thinking. It's mine. You see with the kids, right? Give them something, take it away from them, it's mine. Right? So the more advanced we become, the more detached we become from material energy, because we realise, actually, it's not me, and neither is it mine. Right? It's controlled by somebody else. Okay? We may have a little bit of Ishvara, because we are part and parcel of Krishna, and he's the Param Ishvara, then the Amsa, or the part of Krishna, also has controlling propensities and capacity. But the difference between, and while we're the same in quality, right, in quantity, we're very different. And so, with the beginning of devotional practice or devotional service, the first realization is that we understand that we're not the body, that we're spiritual by nature, and our spiritual identity is manifest in service. We're a servant. Jivera Swarupa Hoy Nityara Krishna Das. We're always a servant of Krishna. Not the body. Okay, well, that's kind of like a negation. So what's the positive? The positive that we're spiritual by nature, but not formless. Not formless. But rather, having form. And what is that form? That form manifests in service. Say that. Got to do something. Right? The very nature of existence means that we serve. In material life, who do we serve?
Ourselves.
Yeah, our misconception of who we are. But who do we serve?
Our senses.
Senses. Mind and senses. The boss. School teachers. The headmaster.
Spouse.
Yes, why not? The government. We serve each other also, right? We're rendering service when we all drive on the left-hand side of the road, when the lights stop. But, sorry, when the lights go red, we stop. When the lights go green, we go. Except in India. That's an easy joke. Easy joke to pull. But we're all serving. And the manifestation or the full the proper manifestation of that service mood is rather than serve the external, we serve the internal, the Supreme Lord. And Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that next stage. Ishvaraha sabhabhutanam riddhesh arjuna tishtiti brahmayam sabhabhutanam yantra rudhani mayaya. The self-realized persons understand bhaktaram jagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sabhabhutanam gyattam shanti richati. The Parameshwara, the supreme controller of all of the living entities, is situated within the heart. And he's controlling the movements of everyone. When a devotee starts to make advancement, then he or she realizes that I'm not in control. Well, I am in control, but just to a minimal degree, and that control could be taken away at any time, right? One minute you're walking, the next minute getting around with a stick, right? Or even paralyzed, gone, right? Can be just taken away, just like that. That control, that facility is provided by the Supreme Controller. You know, it Prabhupada mentions. It's mentioned in his Upanishad that his hands and legs are everywhere. Right? His hands and legs are everywhere. We think these are my hands, right? And this is my leg. But actually, it's been given to, it's Krishna's hands and legs, actually. But he's given them to us to use. Because in the conditioned state, we think, oh, ahama menti, this is mine. And we use it for trying to serve, we use these facilities to serve our misconception of who we are, that we are this body. But this, the first stage, or the beginning stage, if you like, this jnana, is this knowledge, is that we come to the realization that we're not the body, that we're separate from the body. And further advancement means we realize that we're not this body, and then we understand who this body belongs to. That it ultimately belongs to the Paramatma. I am the Jivatma, but I am subservient to and a servant of the Paramatma, the real Bhaktaram, the real. Even when we're under the misconception that I am the body, Krishna is so kind that he facilitates us. Prabhupada says, if you want it, he'll give it. If you want to be a demigod, he'll give it. If you want to be a human being, he'll give it. If you want to be a monkey, he'll give it. If you want to be a dog, he'll give it. And he'll patiently wait until we realise, hey, that's not a very good idea. I've tried so hard to enjoy thinking that I'm the Bhaktaram Janya Tapasam, right? But every time I try to enjoy, what happens? I suffer. No? This is the, as much as you try to enjoy in the material world, that's how much you're going to suffer. Huh? When are we going to wake up? So, first of all, we understand that we're not the body. Then we understand that we're servants. This is the whole purpose of bhakti. And then, when we become fixed in this atmanam, and here brahmanirvanam, then we come to the point of bhagavantam. We start to understand that I'm a servant not only of the super soul, but I'm a servant of the supreme, the Bhagavan, the supreme personality of Godhead. Bhagavan, the one who possesses all opulence, all beauty, all fame, all strength, all wealth, all knowledge, and all renunciation, right? Even though Krishna owns everything, still at the same time he's detached from it, right? Gives it to us, we can do what we like with it, he's not worried, right? As the supreme controller, everything actually is working under his supreme supervision, even when we misplace it or misuse it or misappropriate it. So, when we engage in the service of the supreme controller, the supreme proprietor, then engaged in those activities, we actually start to be freed. We're liberated. We're liberated from the misconception of thinking that we're the body, and we come to the point of realizing that I'm not this body, I'm a spirit soul, I'm a servant, and then we learn what our true identity is and what it is that we actually should be doing. You know, everybody's looking for some purpose in life. Otherwise, if we have no purpose, then how do we feel? Lost. And in the material world, the general result of all of our activities is that we feel lost. There was a Led Zeppelin song. It was called Dazed and Confused. It's a good description of the material world. Dazed and confused. Yet, if one engages in devotional service, then that confusion, that dizziness of material existence is dissolved by the practice of bhakti. So then one realizes one's spiritual identity and one's relationship with Krishna. It's interesting, actually. Our process is very interesting. We render service to Krishna, but not directly. We render service to Krishna through the via medium of the spiritual master and the spiritual master's plural, the devotees. And through that process of rendering service to the spiritual master and the Diksha and Siksha gurus, one named Guru, many gurus, we at the same time establish a relationship with Krishna. Right? So we start to realize some of these principles. Even we may not be a very advanced, technically speaking, advanced the voting. We may not even be a theoretical understander, or we may not have a theoretical understanding of what's happening to us. But the process of devotional service is so powerful that it gives a direct perception of these things through experience. Right? And this is why seva, or service, is so important. It's not something that we just think about, or something that we meditate on. But, well, certainly we do meditate on it, but we put it into practice by engaging in some service. And through the process of devotional service, then gradually Krishna reveals our spiritual identity, but he also reveals himself. Prabhupada gives the example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. At night, when it's all dark, you can't see anything. Huh? And, you know, even just a little noise, you go, ooh, what was that? Ooh, ouch, what's going on? You know, you can very easily become scared in that darkness because you can't see anything, you don't know what's happening. Yet, when the sun comes up, you're able to see things very, very clearly. You can see yourself, right? And you can see all of the surroundings around you. So similarly also, in Krishna consciousness, when we become Krishna conscious, it's like the sun rising. And when the sun rises, we see ourselves. So similarly, as we become Krishna conscious, we see ourselves. But at the same time, the process works. And simultaneously, that we see ourselves, we also see our relationship with Krishna. It begins at the base level, if you like, of what? Well, where does it begin? What was that? Somebody said servant. What's that? What's the Sanskrit word for servant? Servitude. Seva, yes, certainly. Dasyam. Dasyam. Right, so before we move up to Sakyam and Vatsalya and whatever, Madhurya Rasa, we've got to start off at Das and Dasi, right? This is how it manifests. It expands from the basics of Dasyam. And servitude means doing service. Seva. Interesting. Service and seva, pretty much. Very similar words. Similar sounding. So, and that's the qualification for entering into the spiritual realm. Of course, there is also Shanta Ras. Right? And there are, and that Shanta Ras is manifest in the spiritual world. Huh? What are examples of Shanta Ras in the spiritual world?
Trees.
Huh? Trees. We've got some trees. Some trees appeared overnight. We got shifted to Vrindavan. Yeah, and Vrindavan is characterized by trees. What else?
Cows.
Who else? Flowers? Birds? Birds.
Peacocks.
Peacocks.
Flute.
Flute.
River, mountains.
Yeah, river, mountains.
Grass, stone.
Stones. Grass. Yeah, the ground.
Rivers.
Rivers, have we got rivers? A lot of these things are actually manifested by Balaram. Right? Lord Balaram is the epitome of service. Right? So he's Krishna's shoes, his bed, his seat. This is all somewhat of a somewhat of a Shantavas, but still bordering on Saiva. But it's not active, it's not fully manifested Dasya. Still a relationship. But that devotional service is considered to have started when one performs some service. Of course, we begin our devotional service from what's our first service?
Hearing.
Shravanam. What? Shravanam. Which is also somewhat passive. The next stage is Kirtanam, which is the tongue, right? It says, Atasi Krishna Nama Dinam Bhavitraya Pindriya, that our devotional service begins with the tongue. Of course, when we're hearing, that means somebody else is speaking, so it is the tongue, right? Somebody else's tongue is wagging, we're hearing. But then, if we're hearing properly, then we start also Kirtanam. Kirtanam and Prasad Sevanam also. The tongue is very important. But beginning is the hearing. And then the remembering, the realizing, we remember our spiritual identity. We remember our relationship with Krishna. We remember that in order to fulfill that relationship, we needed to render some service. And then through the rendering of service, our realization of ourselves and our realization of Krishna, it starts to expand. Instead of identifying from the spiritual Brahmanirvanam, we start to realize the Atmanam and then the Bhagavantam, the fully manifest supreme personality of Godhead, the full manifestation of Krishna as the personality of Godhead, appears, manifests within the heart of the devotee, depending on his surrender. Right? Depending on his surrender. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, Desham satatayuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam tadami buddhijogam tam jainamam upayanti te. He says, I give the devotee the intelligence by which he can come to me who's engaged in service. Desham satatayuktanam. And what kind of service? What kind of service? Desham to those. Yuktanam, but what kind of service is it? Satatam, right? Which means always. Avyamicharini bhakti, which means undeviated bhakti. And Prabhupada says that if we're engaged in undeviating bhakti, then automatically the process of devotional service will, by that constant engagement in devotional service, then these truths will be revealed to us. Evam evanu kampatam mahatma jnana jam tamaha it'll come to me. Nasyam yatma bhava sto jnana dipena basmata jala, something like that. Out of compassion for those. Who are those? The satayuktanam, the people who are always in, the devotees basically. I, dwelling within the heart, destroy the darkness of ignorance with the lamp of transcendental knowledge. But as I mentioned before, when this transcendental knowledge awakens within the heart, then we see ourselves in relationship to Krishna. I mean, we see that in the material world, practically speaking, there's no knowledge or understanding of this relationship with the personal, the supreme personal Godhead. There's this notion that spiritual is the opposite of material. Without realizing that within the material, actually the spiritual energy is mixed. It is mixed. And that the material creation is somewhat of a perverted reflection of the spiritual creation. But because there's this tendency to negate everything that's in the material world, without realizing within it is mixed the spiritual force or the spiritual energy, then there's this notion that the spiritual is impersonal, that there's no form. Well, there is no form, but there's no material form, there's a spiritual form. And because the material energy is a manifestation or a perverted reflection of the spiritual energy, it has features of the spiritual realm, but it is all mixed up with this duality of material existence, and so it's disappointingly false. It's like looking in a mirror. Look in a mirror and you see yourself. You think, oh, you're so handsome. But try having a relationship with that reflection. Try kissing yourself in a mirror. It's just a glass mirror. It's all cold and flat. It has no substance. The material world's like that. It is a reflection of the spiritual realm, but lacking the spiritual force or the spiritual energy that the dualities are absent from. So it's mentioned in the Brahma Samhita how in the spiritual realm every step is a dance and every word is a song. And everybody is Satchit Ananda. Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Everybody has a form, but that form is permanent, which is what we're looking for. We're looking for a permanent situation full of knowledge. We're looking for that understanding, and we're looking for Ananda, full of happiness. But in the material world, wrong place. But if one engages in devotional service or devotional activities, then those devotional activities, that devotional service, has the potency to release us from this covering of material existence and allow us to, or shall we say, our spiritual identity is revealed. That Satchit Ananda feature is already within us. It doesn't need to be. It's not something that we put on ourselves, but rather it's something that we uncover. Our spiritual identity already exists. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem. We mentioned this the other day. It exists within the heart. And by the performance of sadhana bhakti and elevated to the point of raganuga, spontaneous devotional service, where we realize some of these things, then more and more our spiritual identity is revealed and our relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Person, is also revealed. This is the power of bhakti. And especially on days like Jamashtami, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Akadasi and Jamashtami and other events, occasions, the spiritual occasions, help us to connect to that spiritual identity. It's revealed to us, especially on these occasions. They have great potency. That's why we voluntarily give up material activities, like eating, we fast. running out of sugar. Don't imitate the very advanced devotees and make yourself sick. At least in my case, you may be able to get away with it, not get away with it, you'll get benefit from it. And of course, I also got benefit from fasting on the days like Janmashtami, because, you know, the tendency is throughout the day, what do you feel throughout the day if you're fasting? What do you feel? What's the first thing you feel? Hungry! Huh? And thirsty! And what are you meditating on? Midnight! That's when Krishna appeared. How auspicious. But we're thinking, no, every time we get that sense, that urge, oh man. And you know, you walk past the Maha table, and you see somebody's buying all of those, you know, pastries that the Chitrarupa cooked for Krishna's breakfast this morning, you think, oh no. How come that guy's not advanced? He should be fasting. But we put that aside. That's the push. That's the vajra vegam, sakrota vegam, jiva vegam, udra pasta vegam. We feel the urges, right? But we resist it. Why? It's Krishna's birthday. And I think of Krishna. Right? This is why it's quite unique, isn't it? By fasting, you make spiritual advancement. Why? Because you always force to think about Krishna. Huh? So, and other, that's just kind of like a very basic benefit. And of course, there are other, many esoteric, exotic, hidden advantages and benefits from celebrating and observing Krishna's birthday ceremonies and pastimes. We make rapid advancement on such days, even just by simple activity of fasting. So this is the point of realization that we the Prabhupada mentions here. Apmanam Ramanivanam Bhagavan Kam. And days like Ekadasi and Janmashtami give us an opportunity to meditate on that Bhagavan Tam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, His name. So we chant Hare Krishna. His form, we worship the deity, very beautifully decorated this morning, very nicely dressed by the Balabha, Gornitara Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, and gorgeously decorated. Very inspiring to see the effort of all of the devotees and the amount of energy that they put. First of all, they have to conceive of it. Then they meditate on how they're going to do it. And, you know, this takes days to manifest. From the seed, the idea, comes the plan. And then from the plan comes the action. Right? This is all meditation. And it all heightens and enhances our meditation on Krishna as the Personality of Godhead. And on us as the Personality of service, no? The service, or the servant. So, this is Bhagavan Tam, Prabhupada says here. Ultimately, the highest perfection is realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he mentions here, in this story, that Devahuti achieved the planet called Kapila Vaikuntha. Right? Devahuti is a servant of Kapila Dev, and she was elevated through her meditation on Kapila. And here, and it's mentioned in the verse here, Evamsa Kapilottena. Instructed. She meditated on his instruction. He taught her the process of devotional service. And as a result of that absorption, she was elevated to the planet of Kapila, called Kapila Vaikuntha. Now, we render service to Srila Prabhupada. Is it interesting? It is an interesting meditation. We render service to Srila Prabhupada. How do we do that?
Following his instructions.
Following his instructions, yeah? Specifically, what are they? What are those instructions?
Book distribution.
Distribute books, yes. Why not?
Prasadam distribution.
Prasadam distribution. What else?
Harinam.
Yeah, three things mainly that we do. If we're serving Srila Prabhupada, we read his books. But then he tells us, go out and distribute them. Huh? We do Harinam, and we distribute Prasadam. This is what you might call the external manifestation of devotional service, devotional practice. And this is following in whose footsteps?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Rupa Goswami, yes. Thank you, Mamaji. Top of the class. Rupa Goswami. But of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, the parampara, back to Rupa Goswami. The Goswamis spent their time under the order of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Manohar Vishnu. They understood Lord Chaitanya's mission and they established it. That was through translating or writing books that distilled all of the essence of the Vedas into a description or descriptions of how devotional service should be practiced. So we get the 64 items of devotional service. And Prabhupada says, we have, basically our process runs on two tracks, like a railway line. And the train runs on the two tracks. If you take away one of the tracks, what happens? The train doesn't go anywhere. So we have to have these, it's recommended, advised, it's essential actually, that we pursue these two tracks. There's the Bhagavat Vidhi and the Pantaratika Vidhi. The Bhagavat Vidhi is the preaching, effectively, distributing books, going out on Harinam, distributing prasadam. This is all pretty much Bhagavat Vidhi. And what we do it every day. Chanting Hare Krishna. Hearing the philosophy. Shravanam Kirtanam. And then along with that, for our purification, we follow also the Pantaratrika Vidhi, which is the rendering of service to the deity. It's important, very important. Both of these need to go together. If we're just worshipping the deity, which is also preaching, but we neglect the preaching, then we won't make progress. But if we focus on the on the preaching, but we don't do the deity seva, then we tend to become like cowboys. But you know, the Wild West cowboys, not the Goloka Vrindavan cowboys. And we ignore the rules and regulations that support us in making spiritual progress. Because, Prabhupada mentions, if you chant Hare Krishna, then you should be immediately on the liberated platform. Right? This is the reality. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, we should be immediately transported to Goloka Vrindavan. And we are, sometimes. In a kirtan, right? This morning, in a kirtan, we're jumping up and down, enjoying our liberated spiritual, identity. isn't it? This is a symptom. Symptom of a liberated personality is they jump up and down, chant like a madman, laugh and cry, isn't it? Paloma Maharaj mentions this in his teachings. If you're chanting Hare Krishna, then ideally, or practically, you should be on the liberated platform, and we see it in the kirtan. That's on the liberated platform. People look at the devotees and they go, wow, what are these people doing? And they think, they must be crazy. They must be crazy. Only crazy people do that. Huh? But the devotees aren't crazy. They look like they're crazy. But they are not crazy. Huh? My friends used to say to me, oh, those Hare Krishnas, they're crazy. Huh? And I used to think, crazy people, for crazy people, they seem to be very consistent. There must be something in it. Let's find out what's in it before we judge them as being crazy. But it's a symptom of self-realization that one chants loudly, dances, cries. This is a symptom of self-realization, believe it or not. You know, we get the idea, you know, this is the symptom of self-realization. This is self-realization. Well, it is to a point, right? But that's at the beginning. What was it? Brahma Nirvanam. Right? When you get to the Bhagavan Tam stage, that's when you go crazy. And you see it actually even in Lord Chaitanya's, you know, pastimes in his final pastimes in the Gambira and in Puri, in Jagannath Puri, where Lord Chaitanya more or less entered into that samadhi state, then you see some of the behaviours from the material platform very, very difficult to understand. Well, because it appears like, ooh, something really wrong with him. You know, there's the pastime of Lord Chaitanya when he was found by the fishermen in the ocean, right? You read this pastime? And Lord Chaitanya, his arms and his legs had all had withdrawn into his body. Which is how we kind of see Lord Jagannath. You know, his arms and legs are all gone. Right? So we think, woo, what's going on here? That's, from a material perspective, that's considered just to be weird. Right? But from a spiritual perspective, that's a symptom of the highest ecstasy. Right? From the material point of view, we come, what's going on here? And the materialistic people, when they see the devotees, they say, ooh, what's wrong with these people? What's going on? Darkness. It's darkness. For what the devotee does is darkness to the materialistic person. Right? Of course, for the devotee, when he sees what the materialistic person thinks, ooh, darkness. Right? They both see somewhat, there's a complete juxtaposition of attitude and mentality. So, whilst we experience that highest ecstasy when we're chanting Hare Krishna, when we've finished the kirtan and we walk out the door, right, then we're like, what the hell am I supposed to be doing? Right? So we tend to go back to the materialistic concept of life instead of maintaining on that high transcendental level that we experienced in the kirtan, we tend to go back. So therefore, we have the deity worship and the rules and regulations that are given to us in the Pancharatrikavidhi system, the rules and regulations of the Pancharatrika, to ensure that we have a basic standard of behaviour that kind of mimics the spiritual platform. So, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. Rise early in the morning, go to Mongol, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, sometimes you just don't feel like getting up. Right? Is that the case? Silence. Silence is agreement. If you don't say anything when something's being done wrong, that means you agree with it.
Okay, so you know, and this is sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means we follow the rules and regulations, and a lot of what's contained within the sadhana practice revolves around the worship of the deity. And that, of course, then means establishment of our relationship with Krishna, with Radha Vallabha, with Gaurinathai, with Jagannath, Balaram, and Bhadra. So, on the one hand, we're serving Srila Prabhupada, distributing books, and chanting Hare Krishna, and distributing prasad, and we're preaching. And then on the other hand, we're serving the deity and following the rules and regulations of a Brahminical lifestyle. But because it's connected to Krishna, then it's elevated just from the mode of goodness to the point of Sudhasattva, or the practice of devotional service. So it's interesting for us. Devahuti is elevated to the Kapila Vaikuntha. But for us, we're very, very fortunate. Srila Prabhupada, by serving Srila Prabhupada and following Srila Prabhupada, we get an opportunity to take birth where Srila Prabhupada is performing his pastimes, or where Lord Chaitanya is performing his Sankirtan pastimes. Right? The activities of the Krishna Consciousness Movement are an extension of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela preaching. Right? And so effectively, we're all engaged in Lord Chaitanya's service and the performance of Sankirtan. And so we gain access, mystically, transcendentally, we gain access to the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, the Sankirtan, right? Krishnavanam, Krishna Krishnam, Sango Pangastra Pashadam, Yagyai Sankirtan Praye, Yajanti Hi Sumeda Zaha. It mentions in the Bhagavatam, the most intelligent people of the age of Kali. What will they do? They'll join Lord Chaitanya and the Panchatattva, and they'll perform Yagyai Sankirtan Praya, the topmost yajna, that's preaching. Chanting Hare Krishna, distributing books, distributing prasadam, having festivals, you know, attracting, even keeping the temple clean. Although that's preaching and also deity worship. There's an overlap in all of these activities, or in a good number of them, right? Now, by Prabhupada's mercy, we get entrance into the personal association with the Panchatattva and Lord Chaitanya. Actually, we also get Lord Jagannath as well, interestingly enough. Lord Jagannath's pastimes in Puri are this Aishwarya Vaikuntha bath mood, right? But interestingly enough, in Jagannath Puri, we also get to relish the pastimes of Vrindavan, in that Rath Yatra represents the residents of Vrindavan coming to Dwarka and inviting Krishna, please come back to Vrindavan. So we get that Vrindavan mood, that separation. Dear Lord, please come back with us to where you belong. Of course, when they get Krishna back to Vrindavan, then he's not the same Krishna anymore, because he's been in Dwarka. So anyway, the lament of the Brajavasis, very interesting. So on the one hand, you've got the Aishwarya, the mood of awe and reverence, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of the Universe, but at the same time, it's come back to Vrindavan, where you belong, which is Radha Vallabha. So, by Prabhupada's mercy, we get that relationship with Lord Chaitanya. Through Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda in the Sankirtan movement, not only do we have their association, we get Jagannath, Balarama Subhadra, but we also get to understand or appreciate, to enter into the Vrindavan mood. This is the Bhagavan come. It's quite amazing, really, when you think about it. We get all of this this rust or taste or mellow out of our devotional service, working with or for Srila Prabhupada in the modern day Sankirtan movement. We get an opportunity then to associate with the Panchatattva, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Then through that service and through the preaching, we get to understand also our relationship with Radha and Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan. That's pretty amazing. We get a full bundle, full package of self-realization, and get to be in three places all at once. We go with Prabhupada, we're with Lord Chaitanya, and we're also with Radha and Krishna. Pretty far out, really, when you think about it. It's a good deal, isn't it? But it's a really good deal. And we didn't even know that's what we were getting. Right? We just thought, oh, those guys are crazy. Huh? But actually, we can see Lord Chaitanya was anything but crazy. Huh? Krishna's anything but crazy. He's a person. And as a person, he has desires. Huh? He has a purpose. Huh? His purpose is to get us back to him. That's pretty far out. Huh? Considering how, well, speaking for myself, what a no-hoper, and what a loss, what a wasted piece of space. Right? Wasting our time, dilly-dallying in the material world, thinking we're thinking, you know, Atmanam, I'm the supreme Atman, right, the Paramatma. My activities are all divine. How come I'm suffering so much? We're suffering. And yet, despite the fact that we're so lost, Krishna appears, first of all, for us in a form of Srila Prabhupada. Actually, well, Krishna first, then Prabhupada second. I don't think about it. Krishna's birthday is first, then Prabhupada's is next. And isn't that amazing? Right? When you think about it, that's just amazing. Krishna first, then the devotee comes next. But if it wasn't for the devotee, we wouldn't have Krishna. Huh? What is it? Yasya prasadam bhagavan prasadam yasya prasadam nagati kutopi jayam stuvam yasya trisandhyam. Three times a day I remember my spiritual master, because without the mercy of the spiritual master, without the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and without the opportunity to take or be in Srila Prabhupada's association by performing the Sankirtan, by performing the book distribution, by distributing prasadam, by worshipping the deities, then we wouldn't be in a position where we can associate with Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and realize our transcendental, eternal relationship with Radha and Krishna, and enter into the realm of Vrindavan. So this is Krishna's plan. Revealed to us through the devotees. You know, what do we know about Krishna's plan? When we first turn up at the temple, we haven't got a clue what's going on. When we have the association of the devotees, we don't know what we're doing. By the mercy of the devotees, we get a taste. Well, we get a desire, then we get a taste for rendering service. Huh? I remember when I first came to the temple and the devotees used to serve out the feast. Huh? And then after a few weeks, I realised, yeah, you're supposed to serve out. So I used to want to get up and say, can I serve out? I said, that's enough. They knew I was an unclean hippie. So they didn't want me. You're moochy. They didn't say that. You're a mooch, sit down. But I wanted to serve. They're all serving. Why can't I serve? No, sit down. You're not ready yet. Because later on they got me to serve all the time. And I think, well, what do I have to do this for? This is what happens to the devotees. Oh no, I gotta do the kitchen cleanup. 3 hours. But it, actually the nectar is in the service. And the realization of our spiritual identity comes from this rendering of service. That's what Kapila Dev has described to Devahuti. He's described, here's what you do. Right? And basically, given Devahuti, but also through the pages of the Bhagavatam, given us an understanding of how we can also get to this point. We can be with Prabhupada, we can be with Lord Chaitanya, we can be with Radha and Krishna, and stay with them. Right? This process of sadhana bhakti matures and develops and expands into this desire to want to render service all of the time. That's why Krishna appears as Lord Chaitanya. Right? Because the service, Krishna is so attracted to the service mood that Srimati Radharani manifests that he's thinking, I want to find out what it is that she's tasting. Right? What does she see in me? Right? That's Lord Chaitanya's mood. But Lord Chaitanya's mood is also, that's the internal. There's the external. And that's Krishna's plan. Paritranaya sadhunam vinasaya chatuskritam. Krishna's plan is to protect the devotees, to liberate the devotees, and vinashaya chatuskritam. This is also Krishna's transcendental mission, to kill the demons. But, in one sense, God is not all love. Right? We generally don't identify a punch on the nose as love. Right? Or somebody being killed. Not just somebody. How many people died on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? How many? Millions. Right? Yeah, a lot. Nobody knows what an Akshini is. Huh? Millions of people die on the Battle of Kurukshetra. So it's kind of, and this is a real challenge, isn't it? Because that's also a manifestation of Krishna's love and affection. Huh? Interestingly enough. So the Bhagavad Gita, which is the most elevated spiritual treatise for the beginners, right? Because the Bhagavad Gita is just ABC. Right? The Bhagavad Gita is just, it's a huge big book. But it's just the beginning. I remember going to one of my friend's house before I came, and I saw he had one of those book stands. Right? And had a Bhagavad Gita on it, and I thought, ooh, that's really spiritual. Wow. But that's just the beginning. Right? Such a huge book, and it's just the beginning. 600-700 pages. How often did you read a book of 600 or 700 pages before you became a devotee? No. That's too hard. In fact, the size of the books used to put me off wanting to read them because it took so long to get from the... And especially in the Bhagavatam, you read the first verse of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the first verse of the first chapter of the first canon of the Bhagavatam. How many pages does that book go for? Right? You think, how can I start this book? It takes me all day just to get past the first book. Man. So, but what a challenge. The Bhagavad Gita is spoken on a battlefield, and that's a battle that's been encouraged. Arjuna is a peacemaker. I want peace, right? Which is in the 60s and the 70s, that was admirable. You know, when I was a 16, 17 year old, I was faced with the reality, very, very real possibility that I'd be drafted into the army and have to go and fight in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Right? That's what we were facing. Right? So we're all pacifists, peace, man. We don't want war. Right? But then the Bhagavad Gita, it's taking place on the battlefield, and Krishna is encouraging Arjuna, go and kill him. Right? Because I want him. That's amazing, isn't it? That is amazing. You know, Prabhupada said, people criticize me for encouraging people to become devotees and pacifists. Right? And Prabhupada said, no, I'm not doing that. Look at the Ramayana. He says, there are two great stories of the Vaishnavas. And what are they? The Ramayana and the Mahabharata. And what's the focal point of each one of those stories? A big fight. Right? So, what does that mean about our transcendental identity? What does that mean about our love and affection? We show our love and affection and we demonstrate our transcendental identity in relationship with Krishna, even when Krishna tells us, go and fight. That's embarrassing. Narottam is not being here good enough, or you've got to experience it through the YouTube. Who was it? Was it Narottam? No. Yeah. So, understanding Bhagavan Tam, Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is actually a very, you know, it's a mystical experience. It's sometimes very challenging because, you know, seeing Krishna say, you know, fight, but that he wanted to kill these demons. He wanted to remove them. Huh? That's quite a challenge for the devotee. Because generally speaking, our performance of bhakti is on it's devoted goodness. Right? We want to be brahmanas. We want to be peaceful. Huh? Just chill, man. Take it easy. But Krishna's saying, no. Go out and distribute books. Huh? Go out and chant Hare Krishna. Huh? Go and distribute prasadam. It's too much hard work. Huh? Now come on, we're going to spend 3 hours at Crossways. Or 3 hours to clean the kitchen. It's too hard. I want an easy life. Right? But Krishna's not going to give us an easy life. Right? This is why people don't want to become devotees. Right? Or even the devotees are scared of being devotees. Because right? It means, Rupa Goswami warns us, he says, in the beginning, you'll ask questions, right? This is the nature of a transcendentalist, of a devotee. The characteristic is they're super inquisitive about, you know, if you want to know who's a devotee and who's not when you're preaching, how do you tell? You tell when the person is inquisitive about everything related to Krishna. What about this? What about that? What about the other thing? How do I do this? How do I do that? Right? And even if you tell them something that's going to be tough, they say, oh, that's good. What about, what else? What else do I have to do? Right? Get up at 4 o'clock in the morning? Fantastic. Right? Chant 16 rounds? Great. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. Wow, that makes sense. What else can I do? Yeah, usually that's not a problem. Devotional service begins with the tongue. Right? So, you know, in the first 6 months, you put on about 5 kilograms. And then it just keeps expanding after that. But they're inquisitive, and Prabhupada mentions in the negative instructions, prepare to renounce, prepare to give up things. But that can be a challenge, because our social instincts, our social conditioning, we resist sometimes the surrender, because it is uncomfortable. People, we sometimes hang on to our, not sometimes, most of the time are hanging on to our conceptions of who we are, and aren't letting go of that material identification for an embracing of our spiritual identity. And in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, in order to understand Krishna and establish a relationship with Krishna, it's based very much on the bridging. That's how we get to realize our own personality, which is scary, right? And this is mentioned is it the third or the fifth chapter, where Krishna mentions how we're actually scared of our spiritual identity. Fear? Is it envy? I can't remember the... It's the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, actually. So, we sometimes resist the call and Krishna's desires. Because it means we have to give up our misconceptions of who we are, and we have to embrace our spiritual identity. Battery just died. What to do? We nearly finished. How many does it take?
Two.
And we've got one. Miracles never cease, so let's see.
I can take the battery out of the audio recorder.
Let's just put a take out one and put in the new one and see what happens. It's working.
Yeah.
Probably not for that. So, the Lord has innumerable expansions of His transcendental form. What? Advaita Vachutta. Anadim Ananta Rupam. Ananta means innumerable. He has innumerable expansions of His transcendental form. And we get an opportunity. Just as Devahuti, following the instructions of Kapila Dev, gets to reside in the Kapila Vaikuntha planet, we, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, get an opportunity to reside in the planet where Krishna resides, and we get to know the personality, the supreme personality of Godhead. Of course, that brings with it its challenges, because Krishna has His desires. He wants to protect the devotees, and at the same time He wants to destroy the demons. Now, in Kali Yuga, destroying the demons means Sankirtan, right? Not battle of Kurukshetra. But it's still a battle out there, right? Go out on book distribution. You're battling with your own mind, right? And the minds of the non-devotees, right? The three modes of material nature. We're out, we're doing a battle. It's still a challenge. Harinam Sankirtan, still an effort. Prasadam distribution, still an effort. So we do have our challenges, but at least we don't have to be fighting and killing people on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Right? Where Lord Chaitanya doesn't kill demons in that way. He destroys the demonic mentality. That's our battle. We've got to destroy the demoniac mentality within ourselves, right? Which is just plain pure spiritual laziness most of the time, and get out and preach. And in that way, then, by hearing the holy name, by tasting the prasadam, by reading, especially reading Srila Prabhupada's books, then people will benefit it, immensely benefit it, and the demoniac mentality of all society is destroyed. So this is this Panitanaya Sarunam Vinasaya Chatuspitam. And in this way, Dharma Samstapanataya Samvavami Yuge Yuge. Krishna does this millennium after millennium. Right? He keeps on doing this. And that's basically for our benefit, for the benefit of everyone. Is to take the souls, the pious souls who have become frustrated with material existence because there's no good, there's no benefit from it. But, you know, if Krishna doesn't come to the material world to demonstrate his pastimes and the superiority of the spiritual realm and the activities that take place therein, then people just stay rotting in the material world, suffering. So Krishna appears in the material world. He doesn't have to, but he does, out of compassion. Tesham evanukam paratam. Out of compassion for them, he appears to establish religious principles so that by being engaged in the Sankirtan, taking prasadam, hearing the holy name, even if they don't want to, no, they get benefit. Even if they don't want to. This is the power of the Sankirtan mission, the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya and of ultimately Krishna. So that's our business. We're sadhana, we're sadhikas, yes, but we're also preachers. In fact, we need to be, in order to be an effective preacher, we need to also be a good sadhaka. The two go together. But if it's all sadhana and no preaching, not effective. Not as effective. If it's all preaching but no sadhana, also not effective. Right? It's got to be a balance of the two. And especially if you want to make a lot of advancement. Anybody here who doesn't want to make any spiritual advancement? Raise your hands. If you don't want to make spiritual advancement. I thought so. All of you want to make spiritual advancement, right? Well, one of the best ways is to distribute Prabhupada's books. Yeah? Go on Harinam. These are the things that Prabhupada wanted us to do. Yes, we should study the books, but if you're studying the books, then you realize, ooh, I've got to go out and give them to others. But if we're reading the books but not going out and distributing, then we kind of, we've got a little way to, we need to keep reading. But I'll tell you, the shortcut is go out and distribute the books. Go on Harinam, distribute the holy name. This is the real. If you want to kickstart your spiritual life, then this is how to do it. It's not easy. It means you have to step outside of your comfort zone. But the spiritual benefits of doing that are immeasurable. Huh? Immeasurable. Super potent, super powerful. It's okay. Now, not today though. Today we're staying in the temple. We're performing primarily Pancharatriki activities by celebrating Krishna's birthday today. But of course, we invite everybody to come. Huh? And so, it also at the same time, it's preaching. Not that today, you know, Aniruddha Prabhu said we should go out on book distribution, so now I'm not going to observe too much to me, I'm going out and do book distribution. Well, that's a bit silly. No, book distribution on a weekend, Krishna Janmashtami in the temple today. Okay. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Bhaktavinda ki jai. Does anybody have any comments or questions? I think it's age before beauty.
In the translation written that devotee got super soul, but actually she got the...
She achieved the supreme personality of God as super soul without difficulty.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that she didn't achieve the others as well. Huh?
Why?
Because Atmanam is described, and look at there, look, it says, Magena Chirata Param Atmanam. So Paramatma is what she got. And that's why it's in the translation. Because it says here, Margena Chirata, quickly, on the path, she quickly achieved Param Atmana, Paramatma. So that's why it's there in the translation, because it's in the verse. Huh? But Prabhupada expands that further and says that she got Kapila Vaikuntha. Huh?
Thank you. Well, in regards to the general understanding that goes around practicing devotees, that if they cultivate into perfect devotees, many generations in their families would also be receiving liberation.
Liberating our parents?
Generations.
That's the purpose of life, huh?
No. It is not really understood that of a perfect devotee, even the generations are benefited and they also receive liberation.
Yeah.
Here in this context, God is the son of this person and she has to practice and follow the principles that have been given to her by God, who is her son.
So she could have just taken it easy and not done anything.
No, that's not
and her son would have liberated her.
That's not the question. Yeah? The question is in context with the first part.
Yeah.
How is it that even God's own mother, she has to follow the process to benefit from it? How is it that, you know, being passive, you make that great gain?
Well, keep in mind that these are exemplars, right? So they're Nityasiddha personalities, always liberated, but for the benefit of others, they act like ordinary people. Huh? This is why it's bewildering sometimes. Krishna acts like an ordinary person. Right? He's a supreme personality of Godhead, but he behaves like an ordinary person, so people see him. And they say, he's playing with all of the gopis, why can't I? Right? If he's a supreme personality of Godhead, he's setting his arm for everybody, why can't I follow him? Right? Which is a bit of a twist, but at the same time, he does set the basic standards. The extraordinary activities are there to demonstrate that he is actually the supreme personality of Godhead. But ordinarily, he performs his duties according to the standard way, right? So, in this case, even though Kapila Dev and Devahuti are extraordinarily advanced, or not advanced, they're nitya, you know, they're eternally liberated personalities, in their pastimes, they demonstrate and practice as if they were ordinary people, to inspire us. Huh? So this is to inspire us. Yeah. And even if it were that we just, you know, we were liberated by our, you know, brothers and sisters or mothers or uncles, fathers, whatever, what would be the symptom? The symptom of that liberation would be that a person would be a devotee anyway. Huh?
Did you have a question?
No. Anything else? No? Okay. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Thank you.